You're listening to, let me make sure my mic is on. Here we go. You are listening to WJRH 104.9 FM, Lafayette College Radio, Easton, Pennsylvania. This is Remix Tape.
Thank you.
Hey, it's Remix Tape. And now I'm going to introduce our special guest, Nate Yetzi. But first, we need to confirm that he indeed has the blue mic.
Is this the right mic?
Just put your face closer to it.
Is this the right mic?
It sounds like the right mic. Excellent. So welcome, Nate Yetzi. Am I saying your name correctly?
You are.
I think I remember being interested that it was pronounced Yetzi. Everybody, it's spelled J-E-Z-Z-I. That's why I asked. So how would you like to introduce yourself? I usually have our guests self-introduce.
Well, you've named me. So
who knows that's name?
The naming has been done. I am a visiting professor in philosophy, teaching the philosophy department, and I'm relatively new to Easton, so I'm excited to be here, and thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, thanks for coming on. And we're here today to talk about your mix, which is called Missing Shades of Blue. This is the theme that you've chosen. Yep. Do you want to, first, I guess, let's have you introduce the first track of your mix, and then maybe if you feel like it, segue into your theme, or just talk about your theme separately.
Either or. Sure. So the first track is by this artist, Deru, his album, 1979. It's the first, and it's the title track of that album. I don't know that much about the artist other than that he's on this label out of LA called Friends of Friends, which I find pretty interesting. It puts up interesting things. I really like the album because it's, you know, it's instrumental, and it kind of creates, for me, a nice kind of emotional space for meditation and working. And it's kind of, I thought it was a nice kind of cinematic introduction to the theme today, which is this missing shades of blue, which it's kind of a lame philosopher's reference to something that the Scottish philosopher David Hume was interested in. So maybe to transition to that, I could say that both in Hume's two important works, the Treatise on Human Nature and the Inquiry Concerning Human Understanding, Hume brings up this example, so it seems pretty important. And it's this case of a person who has most of the same kinds of color experiences as like you and me, with the exception that they don't have the experience of a certain shade of blue. And Hume wonders whether if we took all of their experiences and the ideas that corresponded to those experiences of blue and kind of lined them up in a spectrum from like the lightest shades of blue to the darkest, whether that person wouldn't immediately see the gap and like identify what that missing
and
shade
then
is.
Imagine.
Yeah, so like kind of like generate an idea just by comparing the ideas that are there with the gap that presents itself. And it's interesting because it's supposed to be a counterexample to Hume's, or to the kind of empiricist project that he's introducing, whereby all simple ideas, and color ideas are kind of paradigmatically simple, are generated directly through sense experience. So here, by hypothesis, is a case of a simple idea that's not generated by sense experience directly. I don't know. I'm not a Hume scholar, so I mean, it's controversial, like how this fits into Hume's project. But my reason for kind of, you know, by analogy, for my mixtape, the idea is that you know, by stringing together songs that kind of have a certain profile, we can kind of come to see certain experiences of like a blue mood or something like that, independently of whether we've experienced that mood. That's the like hyper-intellectualized explanation of it. It's just like songs I like that I think are suitable for winter.
Oh, for winter. That's so cool. I didn't expect the winter part. This is like a big reveal, actually, live on the air from Nate.
Well, yeah, it's like, you know, that feeling you have on the weekend. Well, I don't really have this anymore because I wake up at the same time every day. But when, like, you know, you've been out late or something and you wake up late on like a Sunday and the light is kind of, the sun is low, you know, and there's this kind of blue filter.
Yeah.
Like you like see in these Scandinavian detective series, you know.
Yeah.
And you're just like wearing a warm sweater and slippers and drinking kettles of tea, like that kind of feeling.
It's a great feeling. Wow. What a great, I hope this mix inspires people to try to recreate that experience as we approach wintertime, because there's nothing better than that. I have so many things to say in response to Nate. The first thing, I want to get to the rest of his songs as well, but I had two ideas, two things that what he was just saying about his mix theme. The first thing, it makes me think that a mixtape is always about these kinds of gaps. Like, for example, if you give somebody a mixtape, you know, thinking about Hume's thought experiment, if we do have, you know, these kinds of two shades on a spectrum of blue, and then, you know, could we then, if we show that person who's missing whatever shade of blue that is, or who's never seen it before, could they then try to visualize what it is? That's kind of what I do sometimes if someone's given me a mixtape. I try to think like, geez, you know, what are the other influences of these artists? Like, what is basically not present? What's in between these songs? Either just the structure that the person who's crafted the mixtape has presented, or just even the artists themselves and where they come out of, because every artist is a kind of fragment of something bigger and more complicated and organic. So that's a really cool, that made me think about that craft of the mixtape, your theme. And the second thing is this Max Miller idea about blue. Have you ever heard about that?
No.
Geez, I don't really know it so well, but there's this weird kind of color theory that blue is actually the hardest. Culturally, blue is, that I guess blue is culturally constructed. And all of these different cultures have a different idea of blue, and some types of blue just don't exist. So maybe that's sort of where Hume was coming from with analogy.
Yeah, I like that, because I was thinking through things and I thought, well, what is, I mean, is it this idea that there's this, you know, that, I mean, extending it to the case that I'm interested in about, like, the idea of a blue mood, which is metaphorical speak, but I mean, it's just a construct, you know, and it could accommodate any number of different emotions, but I just like to think about what seems like a natural kind of profile to ascribe to it, and like the breadth of that profile. So like the different ways in which we might describe ourselves as feeling blue. They don't always have to be sad. Some of them are quite hopeful and upbeat, but there's some tinge to them by which I think we would recognize them as blue, or at those feelings as blue. So I don't know. I thought it kind of wanted, the original draft of this mixtape was one which was much more heterogeneous, because I really was trying to come up with these different kinds of, so it was like an angry blue and like a, and I just felt like it was far too, like, it was, you know, I was trying too hard. And so I just went with like the songs I like.
Yeah.
And as a result, I feel it's much more homogenous. I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing, but I tend to get my own way of kind of working through things is like really just grind it out like repetitively through certain things. So like there are very subtle distinctions, especially in the middle of the list. I see differences there that make me feel certain things and think different things, but you know, we'll see what people think.
Yeah, well, let's hear the next block of songs from Nate's mix, Missing Shades of Blue. I just want to say that it was fate that he ended up with Blue Mike, and that indeed was Blue Mike.
Oh, that is trippy.
So everything's coming together on Remix Tape.
I love that.
Okay, so we're going to hear some more, and we'll be back to talk about it. This is Remix Tape.
Take me out tonight.
Hey, it's Remix Tape. We're back with Nate Yetzi, and we're going to talk about the last two tracks that we heard. Would you like to tell us what we just listened to?
Sure. So the first of the two is titled The Light 3000 by Schneider TM versus Captain Michigan. It's a remake of Smith's track, There's a Light That Never Goes Out.
Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah.
From The Queen Is Dead.
Yeah. And I like this song a lot. Well, what's kind of cool is, like, formally, you know, it's this kind of electro pop, which is kind of cute. But at the same time, there's something about the composition which has this kind of depth to it.
Mm.
And I find it... I don't know. It's like this kind of like sad robot love or something.
Yeah, I love how he makes... That's exactly right, is that his voice sounds very electronic but human at the same time. It doesn't... It's kind of sampling both of those modes equally.
Yeah. And there's these kind of dramatic pauses where, like, you know, there'll be like a click and a pause and then things kind of drop and it becomes like there's like real emotion there. But I don't know. So it's a song I have loved for a long time, and in fact I probably like it more than the original now.
It's beautiful. I loved it.
Yeah. And the second one is by Sasha Pereira. It's called Something's Up. It's a title track from her album Something's Up, which is also, like the first track, put out by Friends of Friends Records out of LA. And yeah, I love, there's something about Sasha's work which is like really weird and interesting and kind of crossing over lots of different genres. Obviously it's kind of electronic, but there's also something very playful about it and quirky. And I like that, I don't know, the kind of space it puts me in. So
yeah, I've liked her. I was wondering when we were listening if she was using a bass clarinet, and you mentioned that she uses primarily like electronic generated sound, not you know, sound from actual instruments.
That's right, as far as I'm aware. I mean, I could be mistaken about this, but I think generally the sounds that she's making for this work, I mean, some of the earlier albums, she did a lot of stuff with guitar and bass, but I'm not sure there's any other than like, and trumpet, the one kind of, but this is, you know, no woodwind.
Yeah. Geez, what happened to the trumpet? I feel like there was a moment in the early 2000s when the trumpet had sort of, and maybe the late 90s, when the trumpet had emerged in pop music. Like, I'm thinking of Cake. These are terrible bands that have absolutely nothing to do with Pereira elsewhere, which is something quite exceptional and actually nice to listen to. Cake, but also Chumbawamba.
Oh, is that right? They have
there were trumpets, mad trumpets in those singles, the singles from those bands. I mean, it's hard to make a trumpet work in the theme of your mix.
Well, and I think it doesn't, I mean, so with Pereira elsewhere, I know that Sasha played trumpet growing up, mm-hmm. and has like lugged around a trumpet that she took back from her mom, and it's all like dented up, and it appears on a lot of her tracks, both in this project, this solo project, but also her earlier kind of incarnation as Jacuzzi. Lead singer, and it doesn't always, it kind of surprises you because it's like this kind of blurting out, you know, she's not a virtuoso trumpet player, but it adds a kind of layer to the instrumentation, which I find interesting, and you know, I think it doesn't take itself super seriously, which I also like.
I mean, I was just thinking of that the trumpet, that brass is so bright sounding, and that woodwinds are so full and rich, and often do have a kind of sad, they skew to the right, sad side of things. I mean, as a woodwind player previously, I've noticed that there are a few tracks on this mix that are using woodwinds, like saxophone.
Sax.
And I think that there is a bass clarinet. Sasha would
have to
let us know.
I have to call
through
it.
Nate. Yeah. Too bad we can't do like a Berlin dial-up right now. It's feasible, I think. Okay, so we're going to continue with Nate's mix. We're going to go into a block of tracks now that I think that work pretty well together. We're going to play those all together, and then we'll be back to talk about them.
That sounds good.
Cool. So we'll be back. Here's some songs.
Honey bunny, my baby girlfriend. Sweetheart, my sugar girlfriend, where are you? Eyes of blue, dear, you.
Colors
childlike dreamers underwater. We're the dreamers in nice colors, and the colors are like summer.
Draw kicking ass and taking names. You can dig the dirt and dance to the tune. Hug the moon and not get hurt.
We'll drink horse by
Hey, it's Remix Tape. We're back with Nate, and we just heard three more songs of his mix. Would you like to talk about these, starting with?
So, first off, we have Honey Bunny by Vincent Gallo from his 2001 record, When. It was on Warp Records.
That's right, and I'd like to just quote a little bit from vincentgallo.com. thought this is pretty interesting. And then Nate, I'll turn it over to Nate. But this is, I think, written by Gallo himself. Gallo is one of the most misunderstood, misquoted, misrepresented talents in the past 25 years. So take it away.
I mean, what's interesting about, so I think a lot of people, well, I mean, I don't know now if people are familiar with like Buffalo 66 and these kind of films, but people might recognize him as an actor and director of films like that. I don't know if anyone got through Brown Bunny.
He looks like Jesus.
A little bit.
He looks a little like Jesus. Yeah.
I mean, he's an interesting character because he's kind of this like narcissistic performance artist who has a really interesting long history in music. I think where he was kind of his first kind of form of artistic expression from a pretty early age was active in like, you know, in like the late 70s, early 80s in kind of some experimental music groups in the city, including like this noise rock band with Jean-Michel Basquiat.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird. but then, so, you know, he's been making music and since that time in his own bands and doing, this is a solo project that, like I said, from the early 2000s. He's a person from, I remember at the time, kind of reading, who's really interested in like the kind of equipment and hardware. So like kind of hi-fi equipment, synths, old microphones. And I, from what I understand, like that album was kind of totally produced with that equipment and to have a certain kind of texture and sound. And like bracketing the weird, creepy narcissism of Gallo. It's just really, it's nice. It sounds nice. It creates a really nice soundscape that, again, I think, capture something about a kind of experience that I will categorize as a blue experience. A blue experience.
That's great. So then moving to the next song, Defiant and Proud.
So that is by Justine Electra. I'm not sure if it's on her album Soft Rock, but I think it's...
I wasn't sure.
From City Slang Records out of Berlin. Justine is an Australian DJ and musician who's been living in Berlin since the 90s, doing various kinds of collaborative projects and solo projects. I love the song because, I mean, I just think it's just, the composition is really nice. I like that she uses this kind of toy xylophone kind of things together with like really rich vocals and guitar. And I think one feature of her work that I like is that she creates a depth by kind of layering her own voice. So all of the vocals are her own. I mean, and she just kind of layers them through, you know, software and post-production.
Mm-hmm.
That's a song I really like, and I wanted to promote her. And the last of the three animal tracks is a song by a trio of women that go under the name Mountain Man. And they're really, I love their sound. There's kind of like a, kind of an Appalachian, music, kind of traditional music vibe that's the kind of sound that they have for their band. Although, as mentioned before, they have a pretty wide repertoire and sing like very different genres. I love the kind of the phrasing and the lyrics of that particular song, though. It's one that my daughter...
What was she saying? Run down my back?
Let the sweat run down our back. Following animal tracks. Like a hole in the leaf in the... I can't remember exactly that. My daughter actually has memorized that before. She's memorized the lyrics. But my favorite line is the bright baby eyes of a chickadee, because it reminds me of my baby.
Oh, how is your baby?
He's doing okay. He's doing well. He's doing well. He's got very...
Jeez, he's so old now.
He's 6 weeks old.
Oh, that's not very old at all. Sorry. You know, time doesn't work the way that we think it does.
Yeah.
Sort of. Wow. So I'm glad.
Yeah. So it's just, there's this kind of like a soft light feel to this song that just kind of has captured my, a lot of my experience of these, like, you know, nights without sleep and sleepy days and kind of everything's a blur. And there's something about that song, which I think kind of expresses that feeling.
It does. I need to listen to more Mountain Man, I think. I'm looking forward to that. Yeah. Everybody listen to that. We're going to continue with our next block of songs. So Nate will be back to talk about more blue music shortly. Listen to this.
Good luck, Charles. top of the stars. You're the night lila. You're everything that we can see. Lila, you're the possibility. Bedtime story, the one that keeps the curtains closed. And I hope you're waiting for me, 'cause I can't make it on my own. I can't make it on my own. Make it on my own. I can't make it on my own.
Hey, we're back. What did we just hear?
What did we hear? Okay, so one of my really favorite songs for a long time, so The Night by Morphine. I love, that's a band that I came to know in around the time I was kind of finishing high school, early college, probably my freshman year of college. And as I was revealing to you, it was not in the coolest way. I heard about them on NPR.
I think it's really cool because that era of NPR was way cooler than the current era of NPR.
I hope so.
NPR's too super lame now. I'm sorry. This is probably bad to say on the radio. This is like a slur.
A little. I know. I don't know. I can't really say for sure. But, you know, I was saying that at the time, for one, I wasn't like an active music consumer. So, you know, at the time, like, this is like pre-internet, really. I mean, like we were talking, like internet at the time was like email and chat rooms. You know, it wasn't like you go out and find the coolest things. Right. And really active consumers could like construct kind of libraries of music by being like, you know, talking to people, going to shows, record, like, you know, sifting through records at stores and like getting catalogs. But for me, it was much more contingent because I wasn't an active consumer. And, you know, I just happened to find a band that have just spoke to me and that I found really cool by, you know, listening to, was it All Songs Considered or whatever they could have.
I think they still have it, yeah. Now they have all these different branches. So did Morphine kind of, was it a gate for you? Did it open up other things?
It didn't, because it was just like, things would just pop in and pop out, you know? It's like, right. But what I love about the song in particular, and I mean, it's throughout their work, this kind of instrumentation, but, you know, it's heavily led by like bass and sax, mm-hmm. and the kind of like growling vocals. There's something very kind of dark and like wolf-like about it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I had done right before this an embarrassing, maybe shouldn't be embarrassed to say, but in high school, I was in the Sondheim musical Into the Woods and played the wolf.
Wow.
Yeah. And
so you identified with.
And there was something, and I was, you know, I was really trying to do this kind of like lascivious kind of like wolf character. And I felt like something about the song spoke to what I was looking for, and that, I don't know.
I think wolves and humans must have some sort of special thing going on, because I have a wolf connection too.
Really? Is it through?
And
like
it was
Russian
through
literature?
Theater. No, it was through. I was in a play. It was like when they. It was like a reimagining of Three Little Pigs, and I was the prosecutor trying to get the wolf put in jail. I had this little pantsuit on, like at the age of 7.
Oh, cute.
Yeah, I was acting anyway. Sorry. Wolves. Got sidetracked, but yeah. I can hear it in this vocals.
There's something about it that's just kind of like, I was also feeling like there's something about it that's just like I'm being skinned or something. I don't know, like just like really scraping.
So it feels like lacerating.
Yeah.
Wow.
I love it though. I really feel it, like it really digs deep in me. So it's a special song for me, and very, very moving.
Mm.
Bird's Lament, a short piece, which I find interesting, has a really interesting dynamic because it kind of walks you through this runway and then like this kind of crescendo and a boom ending.
Mm-hmm.
By Moondog, a fascinating artist, kind of jazz musician, who, you know, apparently was like this kind of street musician in New York in like the 40s and 50s. And used to busk on 6th Avenue, like, with this, like, crazy white wizard beard and, like, a leather helmet with horns. It was known as, like, the Viking of 6th Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
But despite living this kind of precarious, kind of performing in this precarious way, like, was, collaborating with Toscanini and Charlie Parker and, like, really monumental figures in jazz. And I find his work is just really weird and beautiful and intricate, and there's lots of kinds of, and maybe not so much in just in this song. I mean, I like this song because of it's kind of a short piece and it's dynamic, but also the connection with the saxophonic kind of instrumentation, which I thought was a nice connection.
Yeah, I wish that I had played that when I was studying saxophone, because it feels like something that I could master. You know, like that riff.
Yeah.
I wish I had done that.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Instead, I was playing Charlie Parker fake books, which is really hard. It's not, like, those solos are kind of hard.
Is that right? I wouldn't know.
And they transcribed all of them, so I would practice with those. In any case. Cool.
So that was Moondog. And should we go on to the next track?
Yeah, let's play some more. Okay, everybody. Here's the next. We're going to play a couple more from Nate's mix, and then soon we will be drawing our show to a close. So let's talk about it when we return. This is your mixtape.
Every step is moving me, but each step is moving me up, moving me up. One tiny tiny move, it's all I need to jump over. Every step is moving me up.
Hey everyone, we're back. So what did we just hear? We were just talking about Nate and Catherine's amazing children. But now we're back to talking about this mix.
Yeah, so the last two, so the first of the two was The Greater Times by an all-female indie group out of England called Electra Lane. It's now defunct, unfortunately. Their album was called No Shouts, No Calls. As you noted, it's probably the poppiest song here, but I like it, so that's why it was on.
Yeah,
I also think
pop is not a kind of slur or a pejorative to me.
Good.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, not for me so
I
much either.
I think it's complicated.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think there's a way in which most of the stuff here is pop in some form, but yeah. This is certainly the most. And but I like the dynamic to it, the kind of, you know, the way it builds, and obviously it's a kind of like several other of the songs on the list, you know, love is a theme, and love is always something that ties into these feelings of, well, very intense feelings of all kinds, but also this kind of feeling of lacking and needing and various kinds of emotional pain. And so I don't think this is a song, that song is one that's painful. There's a kind of like hopefulness to it, but it's also not, it's not just like everything's great. It's, you know.
Right.
So, I don't know, I love the song. I used to listen to it on repeat. And like many of the songs in the list. And the next one was by Arthur Russell, called This Is How We Walk on the Moon. So Arthur Russell is deceased, and this is a song that came out posthumously. So he's an artist, a musician who did all kinds of interesting stuff in the late 70s and early 80s in New York, and died in like 91 of AIDS. And I think he wasn't really known, from what I know, outside of this kind of New York kind of experimental music community. But posthumously, friends, admirers, whatever, put together these compilation albums and released them over time, and this is one song that was on a later released album, one that I mean, only encountered very like a lot later myself. But I love the cello, and the timbre of his voice, for some reason, just like, to me, it's like a marker of that time in the early 90s when I was just coming of age, and certainly not anything as cool as that, but if I could like retro, you know, spectively go back and like project an ideal of what I would think to be cool, I would hope it'd be that. So
yeah, it's a beautiful song. And when I was on Spotify putting this mix together, I noticed a cover by this indie singer-songwriter Jose Gonzalez, which is, he's kind of, sometimes I worry that he's like the Jack Johnson of indie. I'm not really sure. Anyway, I thought the cover was kind of nice. So if you want to check it out, there's that too. He's being remembered in those ways. I feel like that's a coverable song. Like, that could lead to a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah, well, actually, when I was trying to find the track to share with you, I kept on finding other versions. And it was like, wanted to make sure that you got the right one. Mm. The one that I was listening to and thinking about, and not some other iteration, which sounded very different, in fact.
Yeah, I think the one that I did find on Spotify was quite different. It had horns, maybe?
Yeah, yeah. That bizarre. One is not the same
song. I don't think that's... Well, I guess people can cover how they want to. Okay, so we've reached the culmination, if you will, rather than saying the end of Nate's mix. Is there anything you'd like to say in conclusion about your theme, or just what revisiting some of these songs brought out for you?
Well, I mean, I think primarily I'd just like to thank you for the opportunity to share the songs with you and your listening audience.
Yeah, thank you. And some of this is new to me and really amazing to listen to.
It was really fun to try to put together the songs and try to order them in a way that made sense and sounded right to me. I've really enjoyed it. So I hope, you know, listeners have similarly taken something from it that they enjoy.
Yeah. And we'll have this, we have, of course, a recording, as we always do, of our shows, which you can find on WJRH's website if you just look at our program page for Remix Tape. So we're going to play out on this final song. Is there anything you want to say to set it up?
No, just that it's. I think it's a very nice song for playing out, because it has a kind of direction to it, kind of like spinning out, you know, running down the road kind of song. And I'll just let the listeners hear it for themselves and make of it what they will.
Okay, everyone. Well, this has been Remix Tape, and thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. Not sure what we're gonna do, but we'll be in touch on Twitter, where you can follow us at re_mixtape. So we're going to play out on the song, which is, would you like to pronounce?
I wish I knew. I think it's Romanian or Roma.
Roma.
Ora de Magna, the old 78s.
Yeah. Okay. So everybody, you're listening to WJRH 104.9 FM, Lafayette College Radio, Eastern Pennsylvania. See you next week. Here's the song.